everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Wonder Podcast. It's the podcast where normally we break down a movie all in one take, but we're going to be doing something a little bit different this week. I'm Austin Archer, and with me as always is my childhood next door neighbor and lifelong best friend,
Kramer England.
Yeah, we're mixing it up.
We are. We're trying something a little different.
And I'm in a hotel.
Yes.
So if there's any weird noises that come through my wall, it's the people that I'm sharing space with. Also, I have this very loud, like, heating unit that I couldn't figure out how to turn off, but hopefully it doesn't come through too much.
Yeah, I can't hear anything right now, so you're good.
That's good. Yeah. We're in the same state. We're in the same time zone.
Yeah,
right
we are.
Now. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, here's the deal. It's December. December is upon us. And we were talking about, like, you know, should we talk about Christmas movies? And then how much in-depth analysis is there to do on Elf?
Or yeah.
I guess we could break down Love. People love to sort of, Love Actually, like, is it actually a good movie, or are all of these storylines kind of horrifying and terrible? And, you know, there's an interesting discussion to be had there. But a lot of these movies, I'm like, I enjoy them, but they just are what they are, and they all follow the same formula.
Yeah.
We talked about Die Hard, and we kind of went, that's been done to death, and we don't need to be rehashing that old conversation. But it led to this idea of, like, okay, but along the lines of, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? What if we pitched several films that aren't Christmas movies and made a case for why they should be considered
right
Christmas movies?
Just trying to try to make a little bit different spin on some of these, because I think at the end we could definitely get into really what makes a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
but yeah, we want to get into some of these movies are definitely. Yeah, we'll get into it. We'll make our case for why these should be Christmas movies. So
I think that we will land in a place where we say, here's what a Christmas movie is. Here are the themes of a Christmas movie. Here's the commonality, the common threads between Christmas movies, and I also think that we should. Because you and I disagree on this, we should at the end of this talk about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie briefly. Okay.
Yep, I agree. That'll be great.
It won't be the whole conversation, but we will present our cases, because I have my case. To me, and we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there. I feel like to me it's very clear, but we'll get to Die Hard.
I feel like to me it's very clear.
Maybe the answer will be unveiled when we come up with, like, what makes a Christmas movie a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
So I guess the name of this new game we're creating is it a Christmas movie? Yeah. It's time to play. Is it a Christmas movie? We're each going to pitch three films that are not traditionally thought of as part of the Christmas movie pantheon.
Yeah.
And make our cases as to why they should be considered that. We have about 2 to 5 minutes in that window. Keep it brief. Make your pitch. Brief. Would you like to start with your first film?
Sure. Yeah. Let's start. Okay. I'm going to start off with the movie that I think is definitely a Christmas movie, and it's The Shining.
Okay. That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. The Shining with, Jack Nicholson. And here's the thing, right? We're talking about Christmas movies.
Yeah.
First of all, it should probably take place at Christmas.
Does The Shining take place at Christmas?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's snowing outside.
It's snowing.
Could it not be
like January or February?
Well, no, because it's more at the beginning of winter. Right?
Oh, yeah, because they need a caretaker to come up.
They do need,
it's the start of the holiday season.
Yep, they're wearing definitely like holiday sweaters, like holiday time.
There should be a big giant Christmas tree in that big hotel lobby.
Well, they can't get it up there, you know. If they can barely get anybody up there to save them, they can't even get a Christmas tree. So
okay.
And he already went crazy before he could chop one down and decorate it in
that's
the house.
The axe. He was gonna use the axe to chop down a Christmas tree.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And this is the thing too. Christmas movies. Christmas movies are generally about a family, right? mm-hmm. like a family is having problems and then they come together through Christmas, or, you know, all the crazy antics that go along with the craziness of the holidays. And yeah. so it's almost like, I mean, it's a Christmas movie, but it's almost like an anti-Christmas movie, because they're taking all these tropes that are in most Christmas movies, but they're just making them more horrific. Mm. And instead of, you know, having a funny, funny one-liners and everything, you know, he tries to kill his wife and son. So, but still, it's at Christmas. He's trying to, you know, it follows the theme of the...
It's like Christmas gone wrong.
Yes.
It's like it's supposed yeah. to be a nice, secluded Christmas for this family, for right. the Torrance family up at this really, you know...
Yep.
They have this whole hotel to themselves. What could be better for Christmas for a family?
Yeah.
And it just, unfortunately, it's a haunted hotel.
Yeah. And, with blood yeah. in the elevators.
And dad goes crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could say that's not blood, it's some Christmas juice.
And what's more Christmas than dad getting like really stressed out?
Exactly.
And
all the comedy Christmas movies, the dad is always stressed out. He's trying to get, you know, whatever. He's got all this stuff going on. And it's usually funny, but in this case, it's not. So
Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation is like two more hijinks and mishaps away from being Jack Torrance.
Exactly. You know, all work and no play make Jack a dull boy. That's basically what Chevy Chase would have done, you know? So he would, I think it for sure. I mean, it is at Christmas, you know, that's, I think I've made my case well enough.
I think I'm with you. I think I'm with you. The Shining is a Christmas movie. It's a scary yeah. Christmas movie. There are scary Christmas movies, Silent Night, yeah. Deadly Night.
Black
you know,
Christmas.
Black Christmas. It's not like it's you know, in a genre all its own. And I think that it's time that people recognize The Shining as a Christmas movie.
And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing, if we're going to talk about Christmas movies, we got to talk about Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the song, you know, there'll be scary ghost stories.
Oh.
Why would you be singing and telling scary ghost stories?
I never understood that. There'll be the scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of tales of the glories of Christmas is long, long ago.
Well,
I think I
really don't know if this is the truth or not, but there's a Christmas carol, right? Uh-huh. And a Christmas carol is pretty much a ghost story.
That's true.
I think it's, you know, scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmas is long, long ago.
And right. again, a Christmas carol, this yeah. visitation from like these beings, these supernatural beings. This is very similar to Jack Torrance being visited these different characters.
By these ghosts.
Yeah, these ghosts, you know, whereas the only difference is Ebenezer Scrooge's ghosts wanted him to become a better person, and Jack Torrance's ghosts want him to become a worse person.
Yeah, it's pretty much the opposite.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so I mean, it's, you know, snuggle up and watch The Shining Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What's your first one?
Okay. My first movie, I'm going to start. I feel like, first of all, I want to say, I feel like you picked three better movies than I like all three of your picks better than mine.
I think yours are great.
I picked the movies I picked. I'm going to start with the one I like the least for my case. I'm going to start with Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Okay.
Now, you could say that any Harry Potter movie is a Christmas movie, because I think in pretty much all of them, there's
a Christmas scene
where the kids go, "Happy Christmas, Harry.
Happy Christmas, Harry. Happy Christmas, Ron."
Yeah, I think it happens in most of them. So yeah. I had to think to myself, which one, though, is the most Christmas?
Now, I was going to say that they all feature it. So I am very interested to see why you think this is the most Christmas of all the eight Harry Potter movies. So sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. And so, and I don't know if I have a very strong argument, but I'm going to make it as though I do. I'm going to make it as though I believe in this argument. Obviously, this universe is Christmas down. Like, this universe is Christmas all over the place. It's got Dumbledore is Santa Claus. Get out of here. He's got, he's Santa Claus. He's fancy Santa Claus. He's got the law, especially when it's Richard Harris. Like, that's Santa, dude. Yeah. And there's elves going around, and there's all kinds of magical stuff going on,
you know. And honestly, the only way for Santa to do everything is through magic.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's all magic, Santa Claus is obviously a wizard. So
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Santa Claus like went to Hogwarts 100%. Like,
probably.
He
yeah.
is. And, you know, flying reindeer. What are the animals that only certain people can see that
yeah.
fly, that pull carriages?
Oh, man. They're thestrals.
I think. That's yeah. reindeer. That's
sure.
Whatever spell is put on thestrals to make them fly and pull carriages, the same thing. Santa's doing the same thing with reindeer.
You know, the next Fantastic Beasts, that's what they should do, the flying reindeer.
I think that absolutely.
He catches them and gives them to Santa so that he can.
I love that.
Deliver all the presents.
Yeah, his friend Santa's like depressed and like he doesn't like he feels like he has no purpose in life. And he's like, you know what? You just need a little direction. And he gives him the reindeer to take care of. And he comes up with this yep. idea. I'm going to give everybody gifts. And I think that you can make a very good argument that the Santa Claus universe and yep. the Wizarding World have a shared universe. And,
I think you're totally right, especially with the appearing with the Santa Claus when the chimney magically appears.
Absolutely.
I mean, how would you do that without, you know,
this is Wizarding World all over the place. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll say this. I came up with Order of the Phoenix because I was thinking like family.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of the Harry Potter movies have to deal with family. This is about an orphan who doesn't get along with the family that he was placed with, but has a chosen family at Hogwarts and in the Wizarding World. I feel like Order of the Phoenix is the moment. It's kind of like the movie where, like, as a kid you grow up believing in the magic of Christmas and the magic of Santa Claus and all this stuff, and then as an adult, if there's any kids listening, don't listen to the podcast right now, parents, turn the podcast off, cover your ears. As an adult, you realize, oh, I need to be the person who takes care of the magic of Christmas for my kids, and I need to pass that on. I need to create the family. I think Harry creating Dumbledore's army is Harry creating, and it's like, you know, he's already been doing it slowly over the course of these films with Hermione and Ron, but he creates his own Santa Claus themed family because they're Dumbledore's army. They're basically like Santa buddies, and and I'm really stretching here.
Well, no, you know, this is the other thing. Okay, first of all, Order of the Phoenix honestly is one of my favorite Harry Potter movies.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the one where he really gets to bond with Sirius.
Yeah,
and then Sirius gets killed. He gets taken away.
Has my favorite ending of all of the Harry Potter movies. The whole climax is great.
The duel. Yep. The duel is amazing.
Oh yeah. Like, the Dumbledore. The best duel
the
Dumbledore and Voldemort duel is.
It has not been topped in the Harry Potter movies. That was by far the best duel between Voldemort and Dumbledore. But yeah, but the family theme, right? I mean, so many Christmas movies revolve around family. So it's really the strongest between Harry and Sirius, which is his pretty much his surrogate father.
Yep. And I think that that Harry's chosen family is really solidified and strengthened in Order of the Phoenix. And I also think that ending duel, it's the coolest that we ever get to see Santa Claus be. Dumbledore, AKA our kind of Santa lookalike is at his coolest.
Oh yeah.
While when he's fighting Dumbledore at the end of that movie.
Yeah. Don't mess with Santa.
Or when he's fighting Voldemort at the end of that movie. Yeah. Yeah. So, you could make an argument that the entire series is Christmas coded. And I think these movies are played on TV during Christmas. So there were probably people in the comments who are like, I think that people do think of them as holiday themed movies. But if I had to pick one to make the most Christmassy of the bunch, it'd be that one. What's your next movie?
My next movie that I'm going to talk about is Batman Returns.
I'm so mad that you got this pick and that I didn't think of it. Cause as soon as I saw it in your list, I was like, duh. It's like, duh, that's the one.
This is probably, I mean, in all honesty, this is probably the easiest one to make a case for because it does all happen at Christmas.
Yeah.
Like she's shopping for presents and like, there's this whole lighting of the Christmas tree. And the whole thing is, I mean, it only happens within a few days, right? Like, or maybe a couple weeks, but it's like, it's all very much Christmas centered, you know? And I mean, Bruce doesn't have a family, so he's trying to, you know, make a family with Catwoman. And that you could say this is very much a Christmas rom-com, if anything.
Ooh,
it's a Christmas rom-com because like, Batman and Catwoman, there's always that tension of them trying to get together, you know?
And it's like, I'm alone for Christmas. You're alone for Christmas.
Exactly.
Let's get together and have a little Christmas romance.
I mean, their whole romance is also based upon a lie.
Yeah.
Like so many rom-coms deal with that fact, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that it's taking place at Christmas just puts it right in that category of being a Christmas rom-com. Because he is Batman. So Bruce Wayne is Batman. Selina Kyle is Catwoman. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that one scene where they're like trying, they're like, you know, they're having this relationship and they're trying to get around their lives. And then they both have to leave, you know, and they're like, oh, I got to leave. Oh, yeah, I got to leave, too. Right. And then they leave and then they meet up again as Batman and Catwoman. I mean, it's got all the makings of a Christmas rom-com. I don't see how anyone could say anything different.
Yeah, family themes. You got Penguin as a, you know, an orphan who is, you know, who creates his own family with the penguins from the zoo.
Yeah.
And somehow the circus people. I don't know how they all decide to be on his team, but they, you know, they're just like, hey,
you know, it makes perfect sense when you just think about it. So that's my argument.
People are popping out of boxes like presents, and Batman Returns has big Nightmare Before Christmas energy.
Oh, right? Yeah. Well, Tim Burton.
Obviously, yeah.
You know, wait, did
Tim Burton
did that come out? He didn't direct Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
But still, he was the big name for that movie.
He conceived of it.
Yeah, he did. Did that one come out before Nightmare Before Christmas, or did they come out at the same time?
Very similar time, but they have similar energy. Where they're bringing like Christmas freak show or like circus freak show to Christmas time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Cause a lot of the inhabitants of Halloween Town or whatever it is, Halloween Land, wherever they're from, they look like the Penguin's henchmen.
Yeah. Yeah. They do. And actually, okay. So Batman Returns came out in 92. And then Nightmare Before Christmas came out in 93.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think that the last line of Batman Returns is Alfred and Bruce say something like, you know, Merry Christmas, Master Wayne, Merry Christmas, Alfred. And then he says, peace on earth. And Bruce Wayne says, and goodwill toward men.
Yeah.
Or
something. It goes up.
Yeah,
and you see, it's something.
I think he says, "Oh, he's goodwill toward men," and he goes, "And women," and then it goes up and it shows Catwoman, and
she stands up. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, but it's very Christmas at the end there.
Oh yeah,
with Alfred and Bruce, and
I mean, it's totally wrapped. The whole movie is wrapped in Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, the themes and everything. Again, I think this is really the easiest one to try and say that it's a Christmas movie.
Yep. Okay, here's where I'm gonna really. I gotta say I don't believe in this next one. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
I love this movie.
I was just thinking movies that have snow in them. And I started with that. So I started thinking about movies that have snow in them. And I was like going through movies in my head that were coming up that have snow and like skiing and that have a winter theme. Grand Budapest Hotel popped up and I thought, okay, wait a minute, hold on. There's a lot of imagery actually that I can latch on to here. There's this bakery, the Mendel's bakery that that Saoirse Ronan works at, that they're like always bringing in big, and everything that comes from the bakery looks like a little Christmas present. It's like a little cube with a ribbon around it.
Yes.
And the way that Wes Anderson, you know, obviously the color palette that he works in, especially in this film, it's not that it's green and red, but it feels up against the backdrop of a snowy landscape, of a wintry snowy landscape, to have this bright, colorful kind of dollhouse in the middle of all of this snow feels aesthetically very Santa's Workshop Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is a movie about family. This is Zero, who comes to the hotel and has no family and sort of is taken under the wing of Ralph Fiennes' character, which Ralph Fiennes, by the way, it's like one of his best performances.
He's so good in that. This movie was so funny.
He's just the best. He's just one of the best.
He really is.
He's just so good in everything.
Yeah.
He's so good in Harry Potter. He's so good.
And this is the other thing that you mentioned, the kind of the models that they use in this movie and the dollhouse look that Wes Anderson loves so much. That is very much a Christmas theme for, like, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They all kind of have that look. It's almost like a, you know, stop motion look it plays on that Christmassy feel that those movies have.
You're absolutely the aesthetic of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and like Frosty the Snowman and Jack Frost claymation movies is very much the aesthetic of Grand Budapest Hotel. And obviously this is an aesthetic that Anderson operates a lot in. It's just that I think this is the only movie that he's done that has so much snow in it. And so to add all the snow-capped rooftops and stuff with these little dollhouses that he's doing, it very much has the feel and the look of those.
Yeah. Those skiing, that whole skiing scene, you know, that it's all very wintry. It has to have had, you know, a holiday time.
I also think that there's something to this, the Brotherhood of the Crossed Keys or the Society of the Crossed Keys. Which is, I actually have a tattoo that's that symbol, the cross.
Do you really?
And this is, if you've never seen the movie, this is a secret society of hotel concierges that is across the entire world. Every hotel concierge is a member of the Society of the Crossed Keys, and they can all call each other and call in favors or get information. And it's sort of this international network of like spies that can sort of be everywhere at once, and they all help each other out. And who else is all over the world and can be everywhere at once and can do all that stuff? That's right. Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they probably just, you know, I'm sure they help get all the presents, you know, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I think that I'm stretching with this one, but I think aesthetic wise, if you were to watch Grand Budapest Hotel in December to sort of supplement your diet of Christmas movies, you wouldn't feel like it was massively out of place.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really could be a holiday type movie.
Yeah. You know?
It's got very lighthearted themes.
It's a festive winter tale.
It is, really. Yeah. I mean, it very much has that grandiose story that a lot of Christmas, you know, it's like a tall tale. It's more of a tall tale type thing where it. So, yeah, it feels, you know, it's got that holiday feel all over it.
Yep. All right. What's up next for you?
Okay. My last one that I want to talk about, which, again, this is kind of easy to make an argument for, but Rocky IV.
I know, when I saw this too, I was like, oh, Rocky IV. Happy birthday, Polly, and all that.
Yeah.
They do Christmas. They do Christmas.
They have the fight on Christmas Day.
Yeah. He saves America from the Cold War on Christmas Day.
How more Christmas in American can you get?
Yeah.
Yeah. He
chops down a pine tree with an axe.
Oh, yeah, he does. See, it's his own Christmas tree.
Yep.
But this whole movie takes place at Christmas, right? They're like opening presents and like all the stuff going on. They get, you know, and then this also goes into the theme of the family.
Yeah.
You know, Apollo Creed gets murdered in the ring. He tries to get back at Ivan Drago. And him and Adrian start having marital problems, right? They're like, she's really worried about him, rightly so.
Yeah, he does a really great montage to There's No Easy Way Out while driving the car. He goes for a drive and he thinks about the first three movies. And we do a montage of the first three movies while he drives his car to There's No Easy Way Out. There's No Shortcut.
Yeah, that's a great man.
That's
that
Christmas.
Whole scene. That's Christmas, 80s. It's all wrapped into one. And I mean, so you got the family drama going on. Uh-huh. And the fact that he overcomes this huge, you know, this huge obstacle in the entire Russian country by beating Ivan Drago.
And in a way, like, Rocky doesn't just save America and end the Cold War. He also saves Christmas, because Christmas would be ruined for his family and for a lot of Americans if Rocky Balboa were to get his butt kicked on Christmas Day.
Exactly.
If he were to lose that fight, especially if he had the same fate that Apollo has, like if Ivan Drago kills him, it's going to really ruin Christmas for his family. So Rocky saves Christmas.
He does. He said, I mean, I don't think if I was living in that world on that day and Rocky lost, I wouldn't have opened my presents. I would be like, nope, I'm done. Christmas is dead to me.
That would be the day that Christmas died.
That would be the name of the movie too. The day Christmas died.
If the movie was Rocky Balboa gets killed on Christmas, it would be called Rocky, the day that Christmas died.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. That is exactly what would happen. So that's, but, again, Rocky Christmas movie.
Instead, you could subtitle Rocky IV, Rocky Saves Christmas.
Yeah. More appropriate. It doesn't need to be Rocky IV. Yeah. Rocky IV, Rocky Saves Christmas.
And anything that you could call So-and-So Saves Christmas is a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it has Christmas in the title.
Right.
I think that automatically, if you have Christmas in the title, I think it has to be a Christmas movie.
I'm going to make a Christmas movie that's called This Is Not a Christmas Movie, and it just has nothing to do with Christmas.
I would love that. Like, I remember you had a, this isn't related, but you had a great movie idea as well. 3D, the movie in 2D. Yeah. Do you remember that?
What did I say that?
You said it years and years ago. And I remember thinking that is the best name for a movie ever.
3D, the movie in stunning 2D.
Yeah. So this is not a Christmas movie.
It's not.
Summer. There you go. So
it's not.
Yep.
And it's just a movie that's not about Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. Your last movie.
Okay. My last one is the one I'm most excited about. And very similarly to the way that The Shining is like Christmas gone wrong. It's like The Shining is like a Christmas Carol, but scary.
Yeah. So it's like more horrific.
A horror version of a Christmas Carol.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So a Christmas Carol gone wrong. This movie is Bizarro Christmas. So this movie is The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. This movie takes place in not the North Pole, but the South Pole. This movie takes place in Antarctica. Okay. Yes. We're in the upside down of the North Pole.
Exactly. And
the upside down version of Santa's workshop is a little research facility where an alien shapeshifter gets loose and starts picking off scientists one by one. Mm-hmm. And the reason why this shapeshifter is similar to Santa Claus is, like, have you seen Tim Allen's The Santa Claus?
Oh yeah.
You know how he can't shave? He tries to shave his face and that thing grows right back.
Yep.
That means canonically Santa has shape shifting powers. And we also see it in the Santa Claus. He can make his body thin and he can make his body the size of a little pipe, and he can slide into the pipe and then slide out. So Santa canonically has happy, fun, festive shape shifting powers.
Yeah.
And this entity has shape-shifting powers that are horrific and scary and terrifying, but it's the same powers. If the thing wanted to, it could slide into pipes if the thing wanted to, it could grow a beard instantaneously.
Oh yeah. 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 That's its whole power.
That's its whole thing.
Not getting caught.
And the thing, so Santa wants to visit every home in the world and bring Christmas cheer and bring joy and gifts. The thing also, this parasitic organism, definitely has its eyes set on world domination. The reason why the scientists need to stop it is it wants to visit every home in the world and spread terror and mayhem. It wants to get out there and wipe out the entire species. And these scientists, in order to save Christmas in their way, they need to stop it from doing that. Usually to save Christmas in a Christmas movie, you need to help. Usually something happens where, like, oh no, Santa's sleigh broke down and somebody needs to help, or Santa got kidnapped and somebody needs to take over as Santa for a night and help deliver the presents. In this movie, you need to prevent Bizarro Santa Claus from carrying out his mission in order to save Christmas. So everything is the opposite of what would normally happen in a Christmas movie. It is Bizarro Christmas.
Yeah.
John Carpenter's The Thing.
I am right there with you.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. And then, I mean, you know, you got Wilford Brimley.
Santa.
You know, see Santa, but he doesn't have a beard. So again, going to the Bizarro world. Mm-hmm.
If we were doing the normal Christmas movie, Wilford Brimley would have a beard and he would be playing Santa. But in this movie, he's a grizzled, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctor, whatever he is.
Yeah.
He's not the doctor.
He's somebody.
I don't know what he is. I actually watched this. Go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing is we've got Kurt Russell in here as MacReady with long hair and a long beard. And guess which other movie Kurt Russell has long hair and a long beard in?
The Christmas Chronicles.
The Christmas Chronicles, where he plays who?
Santa Claus.
Santa J. Claus. I don't know what the J stands for, and I don't know if that's accurate.
Jubilee.
That's right. Santa Jubilee Claus.
Yep.
And do you think that's a coincidence? Do you think it's a coincidence that Santa Claus in the Christmas Chronicles looks like a grown-up version of MacReady from The Thing? Here's what I think happened is The Thing actually got into Kurt Russell's character from at the end of the movie. He actually gets into him and takes over his body and then becomes Santa Claus. Yeah. And that's,
you know, and this is what he does. He leaves a piece of himself on all the presents.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just basically is, it has been slowly taking over the entire world.
Yeah.
They're all just things in that world. So Christmas Chronicles is really just The Thing too. The Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah, and people don't know it, but what we're going to find out in the Christmas Chronicles 3 or 4, whichever one they're on, is it's going to be revealed that...
Yep, it was all The Thing.
Or maybe when... Maybe the thing, like the Grinch, like his heart grew 3 sizes and he decided to just bring kids presents instead of...
Try to eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
Maybe the scientist just misunderstood The Thing. They were trying to kill it, but like if they had just left him alone, he was just trying to bring people presents.
Yeah, that's all he wanted. He never really got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just trying to help people because he's the only one that has the ability to do it.
That's right.
We're human. He's not.
Yeah. And then
or it's not.
Yeah. Once it's able to kill all of them, it's like, guys, I've just wanted to get in my sleigh and do nice things.
Exactly.
Get in my spaceship. That looks like a sleigh.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't see any other way to interpret that.
Well, those are our movies for your consideration. Instead of having the debate, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? You can have the debate of, are any of those films a Christmas movie? But why don't we just say, before we establish, or should we establish what makes, why are all these things
yeah.
a Christmas movie? What makes a movie a Christmas movie first? Should we establish that first?
Yeah, let's try to do that. What really does make a Christmas movie? And this is actually something that the last few days, I've really been thinking a lot about this. What does make a Christmas movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that a lot of us have. I mean, in the end, the conclusion that I came up with was it doesn't really matter. You can determine what you want because it's all arbitrary anyway. But since we're going to be arguing this, there are some things I think that, first of all, the thing that I'll say, Christmas movies are not a genre. There's not really a genre for Christmas movies.
There's definitely a feel.
There's a feel.
Yeah,
there's a feel. But generally, Christmas movies, like, they just, there's, if, I can't even like express, there's not, they're usually something before they're a Christmas movie. So it's an action movie set at Christmas time. There's very few movies, not that saying that there aren't any, but there's very few movies that you would say, oh, it's a Christmas movie first. Like,
I don't know. I think a lot of Christmas movies, like the thrust of their plot is just it's Christmas time. And that's the main driving thing is like, we got to put on the Christmas pageant and everyone in town is getting into mishaps while trying to put on the Christmas pageant. And also families are having to overcome obstacles to come closer as families so that we can have a good Christmas. Or if it's a magical Christmas movie, it's like, oh no, Christmas won't happen because there's something wrong with Santa's magic this year.
Those are what I would say are the Christmas movies.
Okay.
So like, you know, it has to, and
that's a genre. That's its own. There's a pantheon and a canon.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
But that, if that's what a Christmas movie is, then there's a lot of movies that I would not qualify as a Christmas movie, even though they are set at Christmas time.
Well, almost none of the movies that we just said.
Oh yeah. Every movie that we just said.
Yeah.
I think, and I was talking to a coworker yesterday and we were having this conversation, you know, Christmas movies, what is and what isn't. And his theory, which I think his brother came up with, was basically if you can take Christmas out of the plot and if the movie still works, then it's not a Christmas movie.
Mm.
And I think that is a good way to kind of determine if it is or isn't. Because I agree, like, if you look at the Santa Claus, there's no movie without Christmas.
Right.
So Tim Allen, like, if it deals directly with Santa Claus,
yeah,
it is for sure like a Christmas movie.
It's Kramer versus Kramer if it's not the Santa Claus. It's just a movie about, like, a custody struggle.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a movie about, like, a divorced couple, like, fighting over custody of their kid.
Yeah.
And that's all, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's, you know, I think that there are things that make Christmas movies Christmas movies, and things that just have Christmas in them.
Okay, but I would say, if we're going to broaden the umbrella to include the movies that we just said, that they're, and just look at the themes that appear in all of these movies that are appropriate to watch during the holiday season,
yeah,
we could say that there's an aesthetic.
Yeah.
There's an aesthetic of, like, bright, saturated colors, juxtaposed to the white, sterile desolation of winter.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that kind of juxtaposition of, like, white, barren, snow-swept landscapes with pops of really electric, bright color. That's sort of an aesthetic feel. Yeah. There's themes of families coming together, both chosen families and, you know, blood families having to overcome obstacles. It's usually a plot that is impacted in some way by the season, whether that's directly by the holiday Christmas or just by the season. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's little.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too,
Christmas music.
Yeah. Christmas music is a big one.
Christmas music.
But then again, like, just having Christmas music doesn't make it, but that has to be, like, a part of it.
People saying Merry Christmas.
Yeah. That can be a part of it. You know, mm-hmm. I think there's, I mean, I guess when it comes to trying to define it, it's a lot. And you could also say this, like, a lot of Christmas movies are another genre wrapped in Christmas, you know,
sure,
like,
absolutely,
a drama,
yeah,
like a action movie. And that's why I was saying, like, if you say, so if I'm talking about Elf,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to say, oh, it's a Christmas movie and it's a comedy. Now, if I'm talking about Die Hard and I said it's a Christmas movie and an action movie, it doesn't make sense. Because I would say, well, because it's not a, if I just said, oh, what's Die Hard? So what's Die Hard about?
Okay.
And I said, oh, it's a Christmas movie. That doesn't make sense because it's not a Christmas. It's not a Christmas. It's an action movie.
You're saying that
if you're trying to explain what
asks you what Die Hard is, you don't go, well, it's a Christmas. Yeah. You don't.
Yeah.
Nobody says that.
I would never call Die Hard a Christmas movie first.
Yeah. So yeah. Cause it's like, you know, some of my favorite Christmas movies, like I do like Love Actually, and I recognize all the problems with the plot. I recognize all the plot. I see all of them. I'm like, oh yeah, all of these have issues, and it gets to me anyway.
I
like the way it's crafted. I like all the people in it. I find everyone very charming and I enjoy it. And I like the movie, The Family Stone. And I like the Family Man with Nicolas Cage.
That's a great one too.
And all of these movies, like, don't necessarily need to take place at Christmas. They don't need
to.
That's not really actually what they're about. They're about these relationships and about, they're all kind of movies about love and about family and about, but like, they don't need to take place at Christmas. Christmas is just sort of there. And then they get, but I still think of them as movies that I want to watch in the month of December because they feel thematically linked to it. So somebody asked me, what's The Family Stone about? I don't know if I would say it's a Christmas movie. I guess I'd be like, it's a family dramedy, but it does take place at Christmas. Or what's Family Man about? I'd be like, well, it's sort of like, you know, Nicolas Cage It's a Wonderful Life, but it's an updated version on it. I guess if I'm saying it's like It's a Wonderful Life, that means I'm saying it's
like a Christmas movie.
It's like a Christmas movie. But even It's a Wonderful Life, even is a movie where, like, it doesn't need to take place at Christmas.
No,
you know,
and I think I think you're right. But those do feel very much like Christmas movies.
Yeah.
I think another thing about a Christmas movie is, like, does it feel out of place if you watch it outside of December? So
Fair.
Like Die Hard, I'm not going to watch at Christmas time, only at Christmas time. Like when we had a minivan, we had a DVD player in it, mm-hmm. and we had Elf, and we would be watching Elf in July, and I'd be like, why are we watching Elf?
Yeah.
This is a Christmas movie. Like it's very hot outside. Why are we watching this movie? Now, I love Elf, and it was funny, and I didn't care because my kids wanted to watch it. That's fine. But if you feel a little out of place watching it not in the Christmas season, I think that also kind of is like an argument also, for it not being a Christmas
movie. But I could make the inverse. So we'll just get it out. I am pro Die Hard as a Christmas movie. To me, it feels like, and you are in the camp of it's not, because I could make the inverse argument and say, if you watch it during December and it feels thematically appropriate, if it's like, oh yeah, this totally, this fits right in. Cause absolutely. I can watch Die Hard, not in December, not during Christmas, and enjoy it. And they usually do play it in syndication, not just in, it's like A Christmas Story is only in Christmas Vacation. Yes. These movies are only showing up on TNT and TBS during the month of December, but Die Hard, they'll play at any old time. But if you are doing a rotation of Christmas movies and you put Die Hard in there, it slides right in. Cause you're like, like I watched it last year to kind of go, I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And I was like, let me see if what the discourse is all about, where this movie sits for me. And I was like, from beginning, middle, and the whole way through, this movie is talking about Christmas. There are so many Christmas. He kills a guy and puts a Santa hat on him and puts a sign on him that says "Ho ho ho, now I've got a machine gun." And I was like, that's so Christmas.
That's true. That's very true. Like, you know, honestly, I think there's pure Christmas films, which is what we just talked about. Like about Santa Claus, has Christmas in the title, or, you know, like Magic of Christmas, all that. Mm-hmm. And then there are these outliers that are Christmas movies with the genre movies with Christmas themes. Mm-hmm. So like the horror movies that we've talked about, like Black Christmas or there's a bunch, right, that are like horror Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. And you could even say that Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, is one of those.
You could say Halloween or Christmas and people.
Yeah, it could. Yeah. So those are the movies that like, oh yeah, okay, you can watch them at Christmas time and they feel appropriate for the time, but they also give you that other kick of something that you want, you know, and I want an action movie that's set at Christmas. There's Die Hard. So it's a Christmas movie, but it's not like a pure Christmas movie.
I guess like the Harry Potter movies, they do play the Harry Potter movies a lot during the holidays. Like from Thanksgiving to, because they feel like holiday films. They have holiday themes, and there's like snow and. But also, you can play the Harry Potter movies anytime because they're not. You wouldn't say to somebody, "What's Harry Potter about?" You wouldn't say, "Well, it's a Christmas movie about a kid who goes to wizarding school."
Exactly.
Yeah, but they fit in, and I think that this is like what movies you watch during the month of October when it's scary movie season, and you can just watch any old scary movie and they fit thematically with the holiday and with the season. Yeah. But also they're not like movies that you go, I just watched those in October. So maybe we could split Christmas movies as a genre or a category into Christmas movies that like pure Christmas movies that are, they only really make sense to watch during December and they don't really work any other time. And movies that totally work to watch during the Christmas season, but are also, they would work without Christmas being a part of them.
Yes. I think, cause if you have anything that is set at Christmas time, it'd be in that second category.
Cause right? I think if Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, then neither is Home Alone.
Yeah, I think you're. Yeah, I.
Because Home Alone's just like it's a home invasion movie.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Screwball comedy.
Screwball comedy, and it takes place at Christmas. And
I think.
But it's very Christmassy.
It is very Christmassy. They're set at Christmas, trying to get like his Christmas wish and all
Christmas
that.
Christmas music. Yeah. We got Christmas trees. We got snow. We got all the stuff. We got, we got all the accoutrement. And I think I think Die Hard gets a bad rap because it's set in LA and there's no snow.
Yes.
So nobody's dressed up, and And I think because it in its genre, it's not, I mean, when they've been doing it more and more recently with things like Red One and what was the one with David, what's his name? The guy from Stranger Things,
David Harbour. Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Is that what it was? I don't know. They're all some iteration of that. They did the Joel Kinnaman one too, that, that John Woo directed.
Silent Night.
Yeah, they're all that.
Oh, Violent Night is the one with David Harbour.
David Harbour's Violent Night. Joel Kinnaman is Silent Night.
Because he doesn't, he's mute, or whatever.
Yeah, because I think he gets like his tongue cut off or something.
Yeah, he loses his voice. Yeah, he can't
speak. Or something like that. But, and I think all of those, and those are much more rooted in Christmas. They seem to be Die Hard is. But when you actually sit down and watch Die Hard, it's like, oh, they're doing this the entire way through. Like there are so many, it's not just like the movie takes place at Christmas. It's like they are talking about it and there's Christmas music being played throughout the entire movie.
Yeah,
and
that's so true.
I know that take Christmas out of the plot and you could still do it 100%. Mm-hmm. But it definitely adds something to it. The fact that there's all this like Christmas cheer juxtaposed to John McClane.
Going on, and
he saves Christmas.
He does saves he saves Christmas. So you gotta save Christmas. That's one.
I think that's the compromise. Is we have to divide Christmas movies into two different categories.
And I mean, like I said, honestly, like when it comes down to it, these are fun to argue, and they're fun to kind of like try to get your points on. But it comes down to it, like. Whether it is or it isn't, doesn't change our lives in any way, shape, or form.
I beg to differ. It
changes will, your life.
It will ruin my life if I don't get this question answered before I die. My life will be meaningless if I can't establish these parameters.
Yes. But I do think, it is. There's pure Christmas movies, and then there's movies that have the theme of Christmas. I mean, every Shane Black movie is set at Christmas. I think even Predators is set at Christmas.
Or The Predator.
The Predator. I think is set at Christmas. And then Iron Man 3, Lethal Weapon. Anyway, his are all set at Christmas, but they're not Christmas movies.
I just watched The Predator for the first time. It was on TV and it was bad, but it was set at Halloween because I remember Jacob Tremblay was trick-or-treating in the movie and he was wearing a Predator mask.
So, okay, you're right.
It's all, it's still in that late fall, early winter space. I think, absolutely. I think that's it. It's like Hallmark movies, Hallmark Christmas movies. It's just like, and now they're doing them on Netflix too.
Yeah.
You would never watch one of those movies ever outside of the month of December because everyone agrees they're pretty universally terrible. But like the only time that it even makes sense to even entertain one of those movies is at Christmas because the only reason for that movie to exist is to have people like, repeating the same generic plot and talking about Christmas a lot
I would agree with you except for the fact that there's a couple things. My parents watch those movies all year round,
but they make them not just Christmas, they make them for
Watch the Christmas movies all year round. And Hallmark has a marathon in July called Christmas in July, where they play all the Christmas movies right in July.
And I don't like that. I know this now.
I know. And first of all, my parents know that they're not great movies, but they enjoy them. So
yeah,
good for you guys. I don't enjoy them, but so there are a lot of people who like those movies. Even past Christmas.
Fair.
Like, and if the fact that they have a marathon that they continue to do Christmas in July
obviously
means that people are watching them.
obviously, like, this is a profitable thing for, if for Hallmark to be able to bankroll like 40 new movies every year.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's pretty crazy. And then Netflix is chasing after them.
Yeah.
Netflix is going, oh, you know what? We need to do more Christmas movies that are really terrible.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Maybe that. And that's one of the things that, like, a pure Christmas movie is it has to be kind of bad. It has to be kind of bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's going to be a pure Christmas movie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you like those movies, great. And the people who work on them, they're trying to get, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do not enjoy those movies. It's so hard for me to watch them because it's just like, what is this? Why did they make this?
Well, everybody, what do you think? Do you like our picks for new Christmas movies? Can they be accepted into the Pantheon and watched in December? And can we? Will that be a debate that can be settled? Or do you think that we can introduce the new debate? What do you think about Die Hard? Let us know. Sound off. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Let everybody know.
Yeah, we'll reply to your comments.
Yeah. Kramer's in there replying. Okay,
I try to reply to
replying to people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We will have a new channel soon.
Yes.
That's one thing. And is we're going to have, we actually have a channel for this podcast on YouTube. We just haven't been making the videos there yet. So why don't you do us a favor and follow that channel, subscribe to that channel. The Wonder Podcast exists on YouTube. You can find it. I don't think anybody subscribed to us yet, but we are going to be moving the show over to there eventually.
Yes.
So subscribe to us so that you can find the show there. If you are a fan of the show, if you're enjoying it,
yeah.
And let people know about us. And
Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got anything else?
No, I think we have settled the debate.
Great.
And you can rest easy the rest of your life.
Yep. I'm good. Okay. Well, we'll see everybody the next time, and goodbye and love you and
bye. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.